So, Lord, as we come to your word now, we pray, Lord, that we would gain new understanding, new insight, and new challenge. And, Lord, help us understand this afresh, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So, I'm a massive fan of Bake Off. Any other Bake Off fans in the room? A few. And really, anything in that format, I'm a sucker for. And over the years, I've tried a few different things. I tried something called Hair. Anyone see Hair? One or two other people in the room. They've done Sewing Bee. One or two other people Sewing Bee, yeah. And my personal favourite that I absolutely love is Great Pottery Throwdown. Has anyone seen Great Pottery Throwdown? A few very avid hands of people going, what earth are you talking about? Great Pottery Throwdown is a pottery competition where amateur potters have a go at trying to become the best amateur potter, a bit like Bake Off, but with pottery. This morning I want us to think about what it means to be shaped by God. You see, if you watch someone on a potter's wheel, what you discover is that whilst they're holding on to the pot, whilst they're holding on to the clay and they're moulding and shaping it, it takes a form. But if for a split second they take their hands off of the pot, off of the clay, have you ever seen what happens? It spins round and it goes everywhere. It goes out of shape very quickly and it splatters everywhere. If it's not being intentionally shaped and moulded, the force of the wheel will shape it a different way. If it's not being intentionally shaped by the potter, the force of the wheel will misshape it and take it a different direction. And this morning we're going to look back at our values again. We've looked at radical hospitality, we've looked at passionate worship, and this morning again we're going to look at, again, remind ourselves about what it means to be intentional in our faith development. Be people who are intentional in growing with God. So we need to keep that image of the potter's wheel in your mind. That it's not being intentionally shaped and formed, the force of the wheel will shape and form it for you. And that's what it's like in our life. If we're not intentional about our faith development, other things will shape and inform who we are in our lives. Matthew 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the most incredible teaching of Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I have a picture of the Sermon on the Mount, I have a picture of Jesus there teaching massive crowds of people. But actually, Matthew 5 begins with, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He wasn't there to teach the crowd. He was there to teach the committed. He teaches people who want to follow after him. See, the crowds gather around him because in Matthew 4, what you read is Jesus is teaching amazing things. He's healing the sick. He's providing for the multitude. He's doing some incredible things. But actually, the people he wants to do business with are the people who are prepared to follow him wherever he goes. Are prepared to do whatever he does. You see, often it's easy for us, if you're a Christian, to be part of the crowd. You just want it all to happen to you. You want to sit there and be spoon-fed all the things that you need to know about your faith. But what Jesus does in this passage is before he starts the most important teaching of his ministry, he draws away from those who are just after whatever they can get from him, and he says, actually, are you committed to this? Do you really get that actually, if you follow me, it will change your life? And it will change your life because you'll have to change. And so he removes himself from the crowd. And those who are committed to this way of life with Jesus follow him up the mountain. And he begins to teach those who are committed. As we talked last time, are you part of the crowd or are you part of the committed? Is for you, Jesus, just a nice thing to do sometimes when it suits you? Or actually, are you really committed to actually saying, I want to understand who Jesus is. I want to follow him every day of my life. I want him to be the center of all that I do. That I see the scripture, I see what the Bible teaches about this way of life that Jesus teaches. Actually, I want a piece of that. I want to do that. If you want to be part of the committed, you'll have to climb a mountain. You'll have to actually do something that will be challenging and difficult at times. Because the great message of our faith is this: come as you are, but don't stay the same. If you didn't remember anything else this morning, just remember this phrase: come as you are, but don't stay the same. Because the radical hospitality of God we talked about a few weeks ago is that you're accepted, accept that you're accepted. God accepts you as you are. Right now, you're accepted. You don't do anything more or anything less. God accepts you as you are. But as we meet Jesus in that place of acceptance, there's a challenge that says, if you want your life to look more like mine, then actually don't stay the same. Don't stay the same. See, with an old mindset in the Christian church, which was, say a sinner's prayer, you're in heaven, all's good now. It meant there was no obligation on us to grow in our faith. It was, Jesus done it all at the cross, which he has, but that's going, right, I'm set for eternity now. Now I'm in eternity. Great, I can get on with my life now. But actually, Jesus says, come as you are. All of you are welcomed as you are. But actually, will you let him transform your life? Will you be transformed and changed by the teaching of Jesus? At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you are blessed if you don't just hear these words of mine, but you put them into practice. This morning, if you're a Christian here this morning, the grace of God is sufficient for you. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are saved. You have your eternity secure. And you can do nothing else, and you'll be set for eternity. But the call of Christ is bigger than that. It's saying your whole life can look different. Your whole way of life can impact the world in such a greater way. Will you be part of the crowd, or will you be part of the committed? Come as you are, but don't stay the same. And throughout the New Testament, people like Paul write things like this, or actually Peter, grow up in your salvation. It's saying, come on guys, now that you have this faith, it's time to grow up. It's time to put it into action. It's time to mature in what you're doing. It's grow up. Do something. Grow in your faith. In Ephesians, Paul writes this: then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect a mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. What he's saying is, that great line there, the truth in love, often it's been thrown around church quite a lot, often used badly. What it's saying is, the truth of Jesus is this: we all need a life transformation. We all need life transformation. And in Christ, we are secure that our lives are okay before God in heaven, so we can start doing some business about our lives. In love, God says, you're all welcome, come as you are. But in truth, he says, don't stay as you are. Don't stay as you are. In love, he embraces you. In truth, he says, don't stay the same. Grow up in your salvation. Mature. Be like an infant being tossed around by every wind of teaching. Know who God is and live it out in your life. Be intentional about growing. See, to be intentional refers to this. It refers to deliberate effort, purposeful action, and high priority to pursue personal growth in following Jesus. I'll leave that up on the screen. If you go to Luke 19, 1-10, there's a story there about a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a short man, he's a tax collector. He's a Jew, but if you were a Jew and a tax collector in the period Jesus was living, in the Roman Empire, Basically, you're seen as you'd sold out to the empire. You weren't really a friend of Israel, even though you were a Jew. You weren't really a friend to the Jews because you had betrayed your people by being a tax collector for the Roman Empire. He's a bit of an outcast. The story in Luke is that Jesus is coming along the road, and Zacchaeus thinks, I kind of want to get to know this Jesus. I want to know who he is. But he says that he's a very short man. And so he goes, I'll climb a sycamore tree so I can see out what's going on. As Jesus passes, he sees Zacchaeus up in the tree. And he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for dinner now. And Zacchaeus has an encounter with Jesus which transforms his life, where suddenly, in a moment, his whole world is turned around. And rather than cheating people out of their money as a tax collector, he gives back to people everything that he has robbed from them, plus some, and he starts being generous with his life. But you see, for that transformation to take place for Zacchaeus, he had to position himself in a place where he could encounter Jesus. He positioned himself in a place where he could meet Jesus. And for him, he climbed a tree. For the disciples in Matthew, they climb a mountain. For Zacchaeus, he climbs a tree. See, and what you see in the scriptures is, look at all the stories about Jesus. The people who want to engage with him go some sort of extra mile in order to try and be where he is and position themselves in a place where they can encounter him. Think about the woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment. In the midst of a crowd, she reaches out and touches him. She positions herself in a place where she can encounter Jesus. Intentional faith development is about intentionally positioning ourselves in a place where we can encounter Jesus more and we can grow in our faith. Positioning ourselves for opportunities where we can trust God more with our lives and see him come through. To grow in who we are, to grow in our spiritual walk. See, it's being intentional about your walk with Jesus. And if you remember back a few years ago, we did a series called Apprenticeship to Jesus. And in that, we used a framework, a picture, which it looks like this. It talks about how you are always being formed in your life, whether you realize it or not. Think about that potter's wheel. The force of the wheel is going round, whatever. The question is whether you're going to harness that force and turn it into something different, or you're going to let that take control of your life. You see, in your life, you're always being shaped by the stories that you believe, by the relationships that you have, by the habits that are part of your life, and by the environment in which you live. And all that happens over time. Let me give you an example. The stories we believe. If you believe that we are just people who have come out of the primordial soup, is it? Yeah, we'll go with that. I've got a nod from a science teacher. If you just think, actually, we've just burst into life from nowhere, and there's no plan and purpose to our creation, how you view other people will be different. You won't value other people because they're just something that's sparked up from nothing. But if you actually believe that people are made with a purpose and a plan, you start valuing and respecting their life. See, the story that you believe will shape how you act. If you believe that you're worthless, you'll act as if you're worthless. If you believe you're God's gift to the world, with lots and lots of pride, you'll act pridefully in all that you do, and you'll have confidence about whatever you face. The story you believe will shape how you act. The people you hang around with rub off on you. We all know this. If you've been around a group of people, their characteristics, their mannerisms will rub off on you. When I lived in Cardiff, the Cardiff accent starts rubbing off on you, and you start realizing there's parts of the bit of a Welsh twang to your voice. Every now and again, I catch myself going, oh, I said something, it's a bit Brummy. And you're like, ooh, I've changed. And you'll find if you've got a particular accent as well, you'll notice this, I'm sure Laura will probably testify to this as well. If you have an accent and you go home, When you come back, it's far stronger than when you left. Because you're around people who shape you. Your relationships will shape who you are and what you do. And we all know that the habits that we have affect our life. If our habits are eating lots of cake, I'm going to get fat. If your habit is I do lots of exercise all the time, you're going to stay thinner. And that applies to all sorts of habits that we have. And you'll have habits. Your life is full of habits, whether you think they're that or not. Your routine in the morning for getting ready. The way you do breakfast. What you do on your commute to work. There'll be things that are your habit that you do, whether you realize it or not. All of these things are shaping you. And the place that you spend most of your time, your environment, shapes you too. So you're always being shaped by something. It's whether or not you're aware of that and whether you are actively seeking to influence that as part of harnessing growing in your faith. It's like that potter's wheel. The wheel is always spinning. There's clay on there, and it will either be misshapen by just the force of what's going on around you, or you can actively, intentionally start to shape it yourself. And so intentional faith development is saying, I don't just become a Christian and kind of just go, oh, that's cool now. It's, I become a Christian as an opportunity here to shape my life in a way that looks like Jesus. And what I learned from Jesus and his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is that when I live like Jesus, there is life. There is freedom and there is liberty. That by bringing order to the chaos of my life, there somehow is freedom. And so for us, as people who are believers, we flip this into intentional development, which means rather than just any story shapes our lives, we think about what are the instructions, what are the things that inform us. So for us, we've got this amazing book that helps shape and inform our lives. This is a book of ancient wisdom collected over hundreds and thousands of years that we can learn from and live by. We can go, I'm actually going to put this into practice to help shape my life. Ron's going, oh, I heard this gossip from my friend, and let's try living that out. It's actually, this is time-tested wisdom that I can apply to my life. So I want to put that in place as an intentional part of my formation. Relationships. You see, the thing is, we often hang out with people who are like us, because it makes it easy then, doesn't it? Because people who are like us are like us. And so we get on with them really well because they're like us. But the thing about relationships where it's all based upon people like you is that you'll never realize some of the things in your life that you need to change. And so what we're called into isn't just picking and choosing relationships, but actually called into community. And so we call that in the church. We call it the community. And the reason why community shapes us is because in community, you don't have a choice about the people you're in relationship with. So there'll be people in this church who really irritate you and really annoy you. There'll be people in this church that you get on really, really well with. And everything in between. And what's great about that is there'll be people in this church who are great at some things. There'll be people in this church who are really bad at some things. And in community, what you have the opportunity to do is by being part of that, is that when you're going, actually, oh, I'm a bit rubbish today, you have people who can pick you up and say, actually, you know what? You're doing good. But also, when you're going, I am God's gift to the world today, you've got people who can go, actually, let's just bring it down a peg or two. That's not the right attitude to have. See, community balances out. And in community, we find that there are gifts that some people are better at some things than me. I'm better at some things than other people. And together, amongst us, we all have a huge wealth of experience and knowledge that we can all draw upon, which helps shape and inform our lives. And we'll have people in this community who will tell us home truths that we need to hear that people who we choose to be in relationship probably won't. And that's why community is such an important part of the Christian walk, because it helps shape and inform your spiritual life. And lastly, the habits that you have affect how you grow. And we've talked a little bit about spiritual disciplines over this last year. Every Lent we do a spiritual challenge where we have something to do, where we try a prayer challenge or we've tried reading the Bible together. When you start putting into place habits, intentional things that you do, intentional practices that are going to benefit you in the long run, that's part of you intentionally shaping and forming your walk. And so, as Christians, general good things to do are prayer. A practice of prayer in our lives helps us refocus on what it's all about. Worship realigns us back to who God is. Reading God's word helps us be reminded of what his instruction is in our life. So all of these things help shape our Christian walk. And in the midst of all of that, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit to be the experience and the environment in which we grow in. So this is kind of a framework for understanding unintentional and intentional faith development. If it's too complicated for you, just think of the potter's wheel. It's spinning round. Are you harnessing that, or is that shaping you? Are you shaping it, or is it shaping you? Because if you take your hands off it for a moment, it will go out of shape. And what we often think as believers is that it's kind of like I'm at zero point. If I do some good stuff, if I do some good prayer stuff, that's good. If I don't, I'm back at zero. But it's not that at all. If you are not intentionally practicing stuff in your life, you're not intentionally focusing on your development in your life, other things will be shaping you. If you're not planning on what's, if you're not aware of what is shaping you, something else will be shaping you. So when we take our foot off the gas of our Christian walk, something else is shaping you. Whether for better or for worse. Which is why it's so important to be intentional about climbing the mountain to be where Jesus is. So we need to develop faith. How do we measure if we are growing as a believer? How do we measure that? And I believe it's this. Do our lives demonstrate greater trust today for God than they did yesterday? In my life, am I doing things that show a greater level of trust in who God is? Because trust is just faith. So if my faith is going to grow, I'm going to develop faith, it's about trust. So today, have I got faith enough in God to pray for someone who is sick? Have I got enough trust today in God to actually go, maybe I'll up my tithe today as a spiritual practice? Have I got enough faith today to believe that God will do what he says he does, will do in my life? Because the places that you grow in your Christian walk are places where faith has been increased, where you've grown in your faith. And there are six things that cover every possible way that you'll have grown your faith in your Christian walk. And it'll be these six catalysts. The things that will have shaped your faith and grown your faith will at some point bring practical teaching. You'll have heard something that's helped shape and inform the way in which you live your life. Private spiritual practices, I mean, in your own prayer life or your own spiritual practice that you've engaged in, maybe solitude, maybe silence, maybe celebration, but you'll have met God in those particular things potentially. Personal ministry, when actually you've chosen to serve and serve other people, that's probably a place where you've grown in your faith. You've had to rely on God more as you serve in that particular ministry and that particular place. Fourthly, you might have had a powerful encounter with God. Maybe actually something just happened and you're going, well, I met God. I had a powerful encounter where I just knew God was with me and God was here and it's transformed and changed your life. And then providential relationships. There are people in your life who came at the right time that helped you grow in your walk with God. It was just the right person at the right time. There's probably people here in this room who go, that person over there was pivotal in my coming to faith. That person in the room over there has been pivotal in helping me understand how I grow in my walk with God. There are people who come into your life at the right time and help you walk in that way. And lastly, pivotal circumstances where something just happened in your world which you could not have predicted, it just happens, and that's been a catalyst for you having to trust God more. where something happens in your world where someone gets sick in your family and it just changes everything in your world. You lose your job and everything suddenly changes in your world. Where suddenly something happens that was not expected and you go, wow, and it's an opportunity for growth in your life. Those are the six things that are catalysts for your faith to grow. And some of those you can intentionally engage in, and some of them you can't actually do anything about, that you have to be aware of when they happen. And so if you look at that paradigm again, practical teaching is about instruction, but pivotal circumstances in your life also shape and instruct your world. But you can't make a pivotal circumstance happen, it just happens. It is a community. Personal ministry, engaging with the community and serving in the community, helps shape you. But providential relationships, the person being the right person at the right time, only God can do that. If it's being aware that that is something that might help shape and change your life. And lastly, spiritual practices help us in those habits of life, but also in that place often powerful encounters happen. And again, you can't help that. That's something God just does. So some things you can do intentionally and some things you have to be aware of as things that will intentionally help you, we have to notice that they're happening in your world. So intentional faith development, if you forget all of that, don't worry. Simply this. We place ourselves in the most advantageous circumstances to learn and grow in trusting the Father, receiving the Spirit, and telling the story of the Son. Again, if you don't remember anything else, if it's all too complicated for you, that's fine. Remember this. Story of Mary and Martha. Story of Mary and Martha. Jesus comes into Bethany. Martha says, Jesus, come to my house for dinner. Martha's got a sister called Mary. Jesus comes into the house. He sits down and starts teaching, as was what he did. Martha's in the kitchen preparing loads of food, do the hosting thing. And Mary is sat at Jesus' feet listening to his teaching. Martha comes in the room and goes, oi, Jesus, my sister, she sat here rather than helping me make all this food. And Jesus says, she has chosen something that's better and that will last for eternity. Mary places herself in the most advantageous position to encounter Jesus. Oh yeah, that's a nice little story. But it wasn't easy for her to do that. Why? Because women weren't allowed to do that. Women weren't allowed to sit at the feet of a teacher or a rabbi. Men did that. Women served in the kitchen. So for Mary to say, actually, you know what? This person is so important. What he has to say is so important. I'm going to put myself in a place where actually everyone's going to say, you can't do that. You can't sit here. You can't be in this place. She had to overcome a whole load of discrimination in order to put herself in a place where Jesus could speak to her life. That radical story is Mary saying, I put myself in the most advantageous place to meet Jesus. If it means overcoming discrimination, if it means having to culturally put aside what is meant, is expected of me, I want to be where Jesus is. And so for you this morning, do you want to be where Jesus is? Do you want to actually grow up in your salvation? Or are you just happy being spoon-fed week in, week out with some nice sermons? Are you going to actively put into practice the things that Jesus teaches? Are you going to shape your life? I want to trust God more tomorrow than I do today. I want to get to a situation in my life where my trust of who God is and my knowledge that he's going to turn up when I put myself out there is so great that amazing things happen. Will we intentionally grow in our faith? Will we put ourselves in a place where Jesus is? So are you part of the crowd? Or will you be part of the committed? Will you climb to where Jesus is and be transformed in that process? Or are you just happy as you are? Because Jesus says, come as you are, but don't stay the same. Don't stay the same. And if you're here this morning, you're thinking, yeah, that's great, Pete, but you don't know what I'm struggling with. There's a thing in my life, and actually that's just part of who I am now. Don't accept that lie. Because the call of Jesus is to come as you are, but don't stay the same. You can be transformed. You can be liberated. You can find a different way of life. You can find a new hope. You can find a new truth. We sung it this morning, the words that come from Isaiah, but also are found in Jesus' words in Luke 4, which says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, to set captives free, and many other things that I can't remember right now. We're saying, this is what Jesus is about. He wants to set us free. He wants to have new life. He wants to live in freedom. Will you be part of the crowd, or will you be part of the committed and let Jesus actually transform your life? Will you climb that mountain? Will you be someone who says, actually, I want to intentionally grow my faith? I'm going to hold on to that clay on the potter's wheel and intentionally let it be shaped and formed rather than letting the force of the wheel shape it instead. So if you're a Christian here this morning, it's about letting Jesus be part of shaping that world for you. If you're not a Christian here this morning, the thinking about what is shaping your life is still relevant for you. What are the things that are influencing how you live your life is still a relevant question for you this morning to think about. But if you're a Christian, we do all these things to shape us in order to allow us to trust God more. And trust is an example of our relationship of love with God. Actually, He's in control, that He loves us. Will you intentionally grow your faith? What is shaping your world? What is shaping your life? Is Jesus part of that? The crowd or the committed? Where will you place yourself? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for these great stories of people like Zacchaeus, of Mary, the woman who touched the hem of your garment, who positioned themselves in a place advantageously to encounter you and be transformed by you and to grow their faith. Heavenly Father, we want to be people who intentionally spend time thinking about how we're going to grow in our walk with you. So let's think about the teaching that's in our life, Lord. Let's help us think about the ways in which we serve others in our personal ministry, Lord. Help us think about the practices of our spiritual walk, Lord. Help us think about the Holy Spirit's involvement in our life. Lord, help us think about what happens when pivotal circumstances hit our lives, Lord, when key relationships form around us, Lord. When you break in and you encounter us powerfully. Lord, let's be mindful of all of these things and be shaped by them to grow our faith, to trust you more today than we did yesterday, to trust you tomorrow more than we do today, to trust that you are who you say you are and you will do what you have promised. Amen.